This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. I'm here on my own, as usual, but we will hear from Jules later on in the show. We did catch up on Zoom and we had a bit of a chin wag, and as normal, Jules had a bit of a rant, so we'll be listening to Jules later. I want to say a big thank you to the Business Bunker Radio Show. We're pleased to partner with Tenterden and District Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the area covered by Tenterden and its surroundings, including the villages of Appledore, Benenden, Bethersden, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rolvenden, Sandhurst, Smarden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittersham and Woodchurch. The Chamber exists to promote sustainable economic development of this area and to provide a collective voice for the area's businesses. You can find out more about the Chamber by going to their website, which is tentertonchamber.org. So do check them out, and a huge thank you for sponsoring this week's show. We've got a packed show this week, as usual, but I want to kick off with a really lovely idea from Kate and Keith at Athelbray. And they said, as this Sunday is the one for Lerve, can we suggest that we all show some to local small businesses, traders and retailers who are struggling through the current situation? So we're asking a virtual Valentine's hug to show our support. So what I'd like you to do, you can send me your normal shout-outs. I'm more happy to read your normal shout-outs. But if you'd like to shout out for a local organisation, shop, trader, retailer, someone that's gone the extra mile, or just someone that you got sympathy for because they've not been able to open. So give us a shout out. Tweet me at VanillaWeb with the hashtag BBunker and give us a shout out for some of the local businesses that you'd like supported. And I have had a few tweets about that already, so which is lovely. Let me look at some of the other tweets I've got. Zoe Cairns has got a fantastic podcast out. It's about her journey in social media, and it's really worth a listen. So give Zoe a follow on the Twitter. Zoe_Cairns is her Twitter handle, and you can see that. What else have we got? There's so many rubbish tweets that you get in there while you're going through your Twitter list. That you have to wade through all the things that aren't there just in order to get to the good stuff. Tracy Ann Barker, Tabba_official. She's not able to listen live today because she's working away and she's going to listen on catch up, but she's tweeted to say what a great idea the supporting local businesses is, and you're absolutely right. Well, fantastic idea from Athelbray, and thank you for thinking of it. So do tweet your local businesses. While I'm thinking about it, I want to give a shout out to some of my local businesses, to Dell and the family at Shop Around the Clock in St Michael's. Thank you so much for being there for us. To the Bull at Bethersden for their lovely takeaway meals, and also to my great mate Mustafa Ozgur's, the Turkish restaurant in Tenterden, who's been manfully looking after us with takeaway Turkish goodies. So thank you to those. And also a local business that I'm desperate to get back to but actually isn't open and hasn't been open for a long time, but I hope will open sometime soon, and that's Brown's the Barbers, because I need a haircut. What else have we got? Okay, let me read this then. Awards celebrate hard work, success, and are a great PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business, why not enter free the Maidstone Canterbury or Ashford Business Awards for 2021? This year's awards are sponsored. The gold sponsor is Agilis Mobile. You can enter the awards by going to www.businessawardskent.co.uk. There are a number of categories in each of the regional areas. I think there's about 12 in each area. You can nominate yourself. It's an easy process, it's entirely free, and all things being equal, there will be a joint awards dinner at the end of this year, November time, assuming that we're all back allowed out by then, which we hopefully will be. So that's the Maidstone or Canterbury or Ashford Business Awards. Do think about entering them. I'm still scrolling through my Twitter log like nothing. Pink Spaghetti, the lovely Vicky. Looking forward to hearing Ross and Simon. Amazing garden design service and all-round nice blokes. What they don't know about the great outdoors, probably isn't worth knowing. Now, we had a fantastic chat. You're going to love that. You're going to hear that shortly, that interview with Simon and Ross Pollard from Simple Life Circles. Ash Lawrence, what comes first, marketing or sales? It's like the chicken or egg conversation, and it's an interesting conundrum. So you can find out more about that by following Ash on the Twitter. Ash Mindset is his Twitter handle. I'm trying to find some of these other shout out. Ah, here we go. The Recovery Well. Hello, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web, and Jules. Please mention my fundraiser, crowdfunder.co.uk, I hate it when these organisations do that. You click their link and it doesn't show you the full link. So it's crowdfunder.co.uk from the Wellbeing. I don't know what the rest of it is. So the easiest thing is to follow them on Twitter at Recovery Well. Recovery Well is their Twitter handle, and they've got a crowdfunder going on there. I have just 25 days left to raise the funds, or no funds are paid out. Any business that donates will get mentioned in my social media and press coverage. So check that out. What else have we got? Kenwood Trust. We are looking for donations of seeds. We've got a very garden-orientated show today, which we can plant in our therapeutic gardens. Specifically, we're looking for herbs, lavender and vegetables, other than beans. If you can help, please get in touch with us at, there's an email address here, katiedarvill@kenwoodtrust.org.uk. That's Katie, K-A-T-I-E, dot Darvill, D-A-R-V-E-L-L, at kenwoodtrust, Kenwood, K-E-N-W-A-R-D-T-R-U-S-T, kenwoodtrust.org.uk. Or you can phone them on Maidstone 01622 814187. Maidstone 01622 814187. That's kenwoodtrust.org.uk if you'd like to donate some seeds to their therapeutic garden. Chips and Dinks, the lovely Bev and Tony, have tweeted, part of the Business Bunker show today is about the outdoors and gardening. So if you're looking out of the window at heavy snow and think, nah, not worth it, can't do anything, well, the good news is you can always listen on Catch Up. Yeah, but now's the time to look, see, because you're right. I mean, round here, we're under about 8 inches of snow. But now's the time to plan, isn't it? Now's the time to think about your garden so that when the snow's gone, you know what you're going to do. Get out there and, you know, get it sorted. Jules has been on talking about shopping local, shopping D. She says that many SMEs offer click and collect, and even delivering small businesses are heroes in the COVID-19 pandemic. And she's listed some of her favourites, which are Retail Mentoring, Staines Farm Shop, the fantastic Good Shed in Canterbury, Guy Grieve, Mary Jean UK, and Wild Breadhead are some of the businesses that she wants to send some Valentine love for supporting her during this. Keith Mabbott, I was proud and privileged to have opened our very first monthly club member Zoom meeting earlier today. A community of like-minded business professionals, all value supporters. If you would like to become part of this business membership list, give me a follow. And that's Keith Mabbott. Keith Mabs on the Twitter, Keith M-A-B-B-S. Is the man to follow. I should have been at that meeting, but of course I couldn't be because I was here. So I look forward to the next one when I can be there. Martin Reeves of Charity Buddy says, have a great show. I should be able to listen live, but if not, then I'll get you on the catch up. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Athel Bray have followed up their earlier tweet saying the test will be how many continue to support their small local businesses when, in inverted comma, normality returns. Let's hope that we remember their offerings and service and what they've done for the local communities in times of difficulty. Seems an appropriate time to say how much we love them. Absolutely. Local businesses have been absolutely fantastic in this, in trying to pivot and do things and support people and make deliveries, especially to vulnerable people. So I really do get that. And it's really important that we support them and continue to support them. You know, once this nightmare is over and we try to go back to some form of normality, that's when reality is really going to hit us about how much damage has been done to so many small businesses and what's going to happen to them in order to keep them going. Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services has tweeted in to say hello. Hiya, Adrian. Thanks for tweeting. And Tracy Ferguson, what a great idea. My corner shop, a 30-second walk away, run by Raj and his family. They've continued to support many of my more vulnerable elderly neighbours by dropping off shopping to their doors throughout this situation. Like so many small traders, they're a community lifeline. Absolutely, Tracy. Couldn't agree with you more. Okay, bit of news, and then we'll have some cheesy tunage, and we'll hear from our first guests, I think. Proposals are being made to redevelop the former King's North Power Station site 3 years after it was demolished. Energy company Uniper is looking to build a mixed-use development on the land that says more than 2,000 jobs could be created. Under its proposals for the 279 acres on the Hugh Peninsula are commercial, manufacturing and industrial buildings. There'll be potential for storage, distribution and data centres. Bosses say the scheme, which is known as Medway One, will regenerate part of the brownfield site and attract long-term investment. Well, anything that brings jobs to Kent and Medway is welcome because we are sorely going to need them. Plans have been revealed for a cycling cafe, which hopes to attract businesses and visitors to a village. The hub would be set up alongside the River Stour on the former Pointers Coach Depot in Wye, which is already owned by one of the venture's co-founders. Offering up the land is Jess Smith and fellow cycling enthusiasts Matt Hayday and Keith Owen, who believe it's the perfect spot for a stop. Using old shipping containers as the structures, the Wye and Boughton Aleph residents hope small startups will be able to set up shop in additional containers alongside the main cafe. Well, that sounds like a fantastic idea. Let's see how that develops, and we'll keep you in touch with that, because that sounds like an ongoing plan that they've got. And talking about creating jobs, a total of 100 jobs are to be created in the expansion of the Dover Port Health Authority service. Dover District Council is doing this to meet the need for increased imported food safety controls at the border. It's being done in the wake of Brexit, with new checks coming in this summer. It will also offer new jobs, hopes as the pandemic causes rising unemployment. The first phase of recruitment for 60 places has begun, with posts ranging from port health and technical officers to operational managers, team leaders and admin staff. Just a little bit of politics there, talking about the Port of Dover. There was a report this week in the Guardian newspaper claiming that exports through Dover were 68% down due to Brexit. It turned out to be completely fake news. The border control people issued a report that says, in fact, exports are running at over 90%. And the reason for the missing 10% is that people, one, stockpiled, and two, the pandemic. So in fact, it's not 68% down at all. If anything, it's less than 10%, and that's only temporary. So don't believe everything you read in The Guardian is the answer to that, really, isn't it? Okay. I tell you what, I think it's time for some cheesy tunage. Why don't we have some tunage, and then we're going to listen to our first guests, who are Simon and Ross Pollard from Simple Life Circle.
I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometimes. When you take, you gotta give. So live, let live, or let go. Whoa, 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 whoa. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. Pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. sing you a tune and promise you the moon. But if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there to pull you out. And you know what I'm talking about. So smile for one, let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime.
Oh, there, bit of Lynn Anderson, Never Promised You a Rose Garden. George has just tweeted and said, I could have got that from the opening bar. I think she probably could as well. I haven't heard that for years, and I thought I'd give it a play because it was a bit relevant. We've had loads of tweets. Jules has also reminded me, following the tweet about the Cycle Cafe, and she says, do you remember a few years back, there was a cycle repair pub as a guest? Was it in Swale? Yes, it was. It was the Four Horseshoes pub and cycling cafe at Swale, and it was on a cycle path there, and that was a really clever idea, wasn't it? Yeah, I do remember that. Tracy Ferguson says, I've lost it, sorry Tracy, I'll come back to it in a minute. She just sent me another tweet. I will find it again in a second, Tracy. It just went off my phone. Into PR says, a Mano kitchen in Orpington, following a top takeout Italian last week, I'd like to send them a shout out. So thank you, Darren. That's a Mano kitchen in Orpington. Do give them a follow. And we got loads now coming in. I'm going to read them all out during the show, but we've got some guests to talk to too. Athelbrow said, lovely to see so many get on board with our idea. Can we have a shout out for Paddockwood Life, Anchorage Guard 1, local butchers Hammonds in Matfield. You can email them at shop@hammondsbutchers.co.uk, and the Little Ball Cafe in Brenchley. That's info@thelittleball.cafe. So try and support all of those small businesses if you're in the Paddockwood or general Matfield Brenchley area. What else have we got? Telcare Limited. It's Business Bunker Radio Show Day. Have a fun show, guys. We'll be listening in. Thank you. That's Telcare, the telecom systems provider over there on the Midway City Estate in Rochester. I'll tell you what, why don't we hear from Simon and Ross Pollard from Simple Life Circle. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show Simon and Ross from Simple Life. Guys, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. It's lovely to see you. Why don't we kick off by you telling us a bit about you and what you do?
Okay, so if I go first, Simon. Yeah. Since the last time we were here, we've had a really busy time.
Mm.
Busy shutting things down. We Simple Life used to be a garden landscaping and design business.
Right.
And a year ago, we shut down the landscaping and focused totally on the design, which was an inspired idea. I have a staff of one for the most part, and I love it.
Right.
So that's been absolutely brilliant.
Can I ask you a question there, Simon? Was that in response to COVID and the lockdown? Is that why you took that decision, or was it a more general business decision?
It was a business decision at that time. COVID was only something that was in China, and the Chinese wearing masks, and we're like, that's got nothing to do with us. We'll never wear a mask.
They're
far away. Nothing to do with us. No, it was a straight business decision. A number of things had happened, and when we put everything right, it was a case of, do I want to do this and set up another team? And sitting down and having a chat with my business coach, and we just said no. And we shut everything down. Ross was working for me, found him another job,
right,
and just basically shut everything down. And that left me, and it was brilliant. I have total control of the quality of my output, and that's actually really refreshing. So
right. That
was the decision made. We then, of course, went into COVID. That changed the whole ball game again.
Sure.
So we are, but again, we kept going. We had a month with no work, and then things started picking up as to a certain extent they were before. That was brilliant. We went through. Ross found himself without a job in October, and one of the things we've been talking about in a business Zoom meeting was subscription services, membership groups, that kind of thing, online, on Zoom. And I had the idea that because I've been doing guided walks and things and talks through the summer, well, we couldn't do those through the lockdown either.
Sure.
So maybe if we can get a Zoom group together, and which is effectively a celebration of everything outdoors, then that would be really, really cool.
Right.
And at the time, I said to Ross, do you fancy doing this with us? And he said, no.
Don't blame you, Ross.
How old is Ross?
Here I am, 3 months later, and we're now actually doing it.
Right.
So how old is Ross?
I am 21.
Oh, wow. God, can you remember being 21, Paul?
Yeah, my company's 21. My company was 21 last year.
I might actually be 21, but I don't actually count my 21st birthday yet because it was in lockdown number 3. So, therefore, my birthday hasn't happened, but my age has changed.
Okay, get it. I get it. So,
parties
next year. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Ross, you tell us next. So, you know, you've been dragged into this. You turned it down, and now you're doing it. So, talk us through what your role in this is and what you're doing.
Yeah, so essentially, the Simple Life Circle, as it has been called, is essentially it's father and son. It's just the duo, the two of us presenting a show that both of us are both passionate about. And it was one of the ones where it was one of Dad's ideas, and you go, all right, okay, I'll have a think about it. But I'm going to say no, and then I'll have a think about it. And then, yeah, gradually over the next kind of couple of weeks after that, it's slowly sort of worming into your head. And then you think, actually, this is not a bad idea. This is a pretty good, fun experience almost.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, your dad's idea was okay, but I'm sure you've refined it and made it work and you know, and changed it into something useful. I'm sure you've done that, Ross.
So what is this idea? Because I have no idea. I know you lot have been chatting behind the scenes while I was getting my tech working. What is this scheme and what is the subscription?
Well, the Simple Life Circle, as I say, is a celebration of all things outdoors. Now, whether that is
foraging,
we haven't got into foraging, but foraging could certainly be a part of it.
I know quite a lot of good foragers. I'll put you in touch with Simon.
That would be fantastic. That would be absolutely amazing. But whether that is the fact that Robin changes his call from autumn into winter, and why that is, whether that's actually being outside in the rain and thoroughly enjoying it, whether that's going out and walking.
What you've got to think about is we didn't find out until we were actually told by one of our members. If you actually go walking in the rain, you're called a pluviophile.
A what?
Really?
A pluviophile.
That's pluviophile.
Really?
Well, I'm one. I'm always out in the rain because I have a dog. A pluviophile.
Yes, please.
Right. Okay.
I would like to make one observation on walking in the rain, Simon and Ross, because I bought myself a pair of wellies and I've got a metal knee, as Paul Andrews and the listeners know. So I wear Fit Flops, which have a micro wobble sole, which means I can walk
micro-wobble.
For miles.
Micro wobble.
Yeah.
I've got a micro wobble as well.
Without metal knee, I've got a macro wobble.
So I bought this lovely pair of Wellington boots, which I've actually worn into the studio, and Paul was a bit perplexed as to why I was wearing them, but I'd been out in the rain. And they're made in Asia, apparently, and I got a pair last January when we were just approaching lockdown and winter and stuff, and they leaked almost immediately at a seam. So I sent them back to Flip Flop very disgruntledly, and they said, no, nothing wrong with them at all. And I said, well, they, you know, the seam has split, and they're £90, you know, they're not cheap. And so I went, they sent me another pair, and I, you know, wore those, and they did the same thing. So I've just made another complaint. This is November now. last November, and they've admitted that there was a fault with the seams. And I said, well, where are they made? Apparently, they're made in the same warehouse or factory as Hunter boots. But Hunter boots, I can't get on. They don't get round my ankle, a little puffy ankle that I've got. Wellington boots are a huge dilemma.
Well, thank you for that. That was really interesting. Anyway, back to what Simon and Ross were talking about.
As I understand it, wellies were never really made for walking in anyway.
No,
they're more squelching about, aren't they, in the garden?
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing at the moment, I find, is I don't mind the rain, I don't mind the wind, I don't mind all of that, but what really does get up my nose, polite phrase, is the slippering and the squelchy and the sliding, but
yeah,
that's part of it. So anyway, back to where we were.
I want to come back to the circle, because it's a fascinating concept that you guys have come up with, and I want to kind of understand it in some more depth and find out the kind of people that are joining and the kind of things that you actually do in your Zoom groups, and what you talk about and what you look at. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. If I start, and I'll pass it over to Ross, but we have features such as dawn stories, what happens outside as the sun is coming up.
Right.
It's great in the winter because you don't have to get up too early. I'll be featuring that, but we go out on guided walks. We've got a feature on tomorrow's show. There's a Saxon hedgerow
in one of the local estates,
and apparently it's a Saxon hedgerow, because if you count the number of perennial species that are in there, trees, shrubs or whatever, you can pretty much do one for each century.
Right, okay.
So therefore, this one has been dated by the people who know back to Saxon times.
Right, okay.
And I think it's quite amazing if you think that a hedgerow has been there for something like 1,300 or 1,400 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is quite unreal. A lot of it is generated by what happens when we're outside, what we see.
Right.
We did a guided walk, and we did a feature in that on willows and buzzards and a local railway.
Okay, so let me understand this. So you and Ross go out for a walk. Is that how it works? And you film whatever you see, and you talk about it while you're doing it? Is that how it works?
Essentially, so what we do is we'll sit down some point the week before we're doing the show, so we're always a week ahead. We'll kind of have a rough plan of what we want to do.
Right.
And then we go, right, okay, so if we want to get... So, for example, we want to get a video of a seagull or some form of seagull. To us locally, best place to go and get any kind of seabird is to go to Kingsdown. So we go, right, we'll find the morning, we'll go to Kingsdown, and we'll take the camera with us and a microphone, and then we'll go and record it. And then we come home, put it all through the flash software, and then take it out the other side, and then sit down at 7 p.m. on a Thursday evening in front of the fire and present it.
Right, okay, got it.
So is it on YouTube or...?
On Zoom.
No, they get
on Zoom. Okay.
But what quite often happens is we say, right, we want to go down to Kingsdown, we want to film a seagull, and we come back with fantastic footage of house martins in a pond.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So therefore, we have to make it up a little bit on the hoof and on the fly. So it's very, very planned, but with a large element of ad hoc.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the nature of nature, isn't it? You don't know what you're going to see. You don't know what you're going to get. I mean, as Ross said, you can have a fair idea of where you might see a seagull.
My house.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get them here occasionally. But you might see something else, you know. And I've got right outside my window here, my office window, I've got a bird table. And the kind of birds that kind of, you know, come by every now and again is unbelievable. Some of them quite rare for a garden in Kent. I had a flock of 9 long-tailed tits the other day, all at one time. Yeah. It was just a beautiful sight seeing them all together. And they came, they ate for a little while, cleared off, and I haven't seen them again since. You know, so you get these odd things. But I think that's part of the nice thing about nature, isn't it? You're never too sure what you're going to see.
Where I live, we get we have little egrets, lots of little egrets, which are lovely. I've seen 3 at a time quite a lot. And we get a buzzard. That's there. And I've seen an owl, I think it's a short-eared owl, in the daytime, which was really exciting.
We've got some lovely footage of little egrets. It's one of those that tends to be... We always put it in our schedule, and it's always seemed to be the one that got left for next week.
Right.
It's still there, and we are going to view it because it is worth it. But it's one of those things, and you know, with a radio show, if you have the ability to talk, yeah, and we have the ability to talk, or people put things in the chat and you respond to that, and you always end up with too much stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you've got a wide remit as well, haven't you? You know, from Saxon hedges to birds to, you know, foraging or whatever you're going to do.
We also, one of the things that we're also very keen to do, and we try and do it unobtrusively, is the outdoors is an amazing resource for mental health.
Right, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So, although we don't go, this is an article on how you're going to fix your depression, or this is a... We have an underlying kind of philosophical, for want of a better, or observational element of the things that you can do when you're outside to actually help yourself deal with whatever stresses and strains that we're currently experiencing.
Yeah.
So we try to actually, when we have our introduction, we'll have something that is of an observational nature that you can actually use for yourself rather than, or understanding that what you're seeing and using that. And we'll try and finish it off as well. So we kind of like sandwich all those bite-sized chunks in this observational, philosophical thing, which people can then use and go out and hopefully leave happier people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely been said, Simon and Ross, that birdsong affects the brain and, you know, relaxes you. Certainly if you listen to birdsong. I go out sometimes quite early in the morning to the back garden, and like you, I've got the robins, and I've got a very friendly, tame robin, and the birdsong is just beautiful at sort of 5:30, 6 in the morning.
Absolutely. I actually heard this morning, I know this is going to be... relayed later, but the first song thrush, absolutely going for it.
Right.
And the beauty of the song thrush is, even if you don't know what a song thrush sounds like, it's the only bird out there that repeats everything it sings at least 2, 3, or 4 times.
Right.
So if you know that fact and you listen, you know you're hearing a song thrush, even if you don't recognize its song.
Okay. Cool.
I get a bit miffed in my back garden because we're on the seafront, and I feed the birds on a bird feeder, fat balls and things in the front and the back, and we get just so many squabbly starlings, so many, and not much else. A couple of fat sparrows and the robins. Occasionally, I'll see something which I'm not sure whether it's a green tit or a blue tit or something green and little, but so many starlings. Why?
They're locally very very common, but locally common. Starling numbers is as a species, certainly within the UK, are quite low.
Are they?
They are on, I think they're on the amber list. They certainly were, which is why the big murmurations, we get those vast numbers, are harder to see than they were before.
Yeah.
So what I would say is enjoy the entertainment of them squabbling. Rather than curse them, because the fact that you've got them is cause for celebration.
Good. I shall start celebrating them.
Absolutely. But also look at the colours, especially this time of year. They're speckled. They're starting to get their coat ready for spring. And if you actually look closely, they've got a ring on the eyes, and it's blue for a boy and pink for a girl.
All right. Okay.
Well, I never knew that. And is I don't know if you've seen on my Twitter. There's a gardener I follow in Ireland, an organic gardener, and she actually has this robin on her hand. It's that tame, and I didn't know that a female robin and a male robin, you can't tell the difference.
Only robins can tell the difference.
Hmm. Say that again.
Only robins can tell the difference.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that incredible? Because I always thought that the male would have the bright plumage and that the female would just have dull plumage, as often happens.
Yeah. What it is the fact that robins are very, very, very territorial, and you will rarely see two together. You might do it this time of year, but basically that's why both of them are red. So if you see it, the only difference you'll see is the juveniles haven't got a red breast. Right. Until they have their first molt in the autumn. And the reason is if they had a red breast, the adults would attack it.
Right.
Yeah, which is why they changed their song as well. Because through summer, autumn, winter, the song basically says, my ground, my land, my tree, my worms, my bugs, my insects, don't dare come in here unless you think you're big enough, because I'm going to have you. Right.
And apparently the mating of the robin is absolutely brutal.
I wouldn't know about that, but what I do know is that the song...
Trust Jules, huh? Trust Jules.
It's brutal, apparently. Yeah, absolutely brutal.
What I do know is the song changes into the spring, which is all those things it has every other time of year. But in the spring, it goes, unless you're of the opposite sex, in which you can come in, we'll make babies, and when we're done, clear off.
Right.
There you are. I wanted to ask one more thing. You know these new builds that are going up, Simon and Ross? I had a big row with a developer because they put down this artificial grass. And I said to him, you know, just watch the birds. And they stamp on the lawn and they peck after it's rained to get their worms out and stuff. And I said, if you're putting artificial grass, it's really, really bad for wildlife. And it's absolutely rife now, developers putting down artificial grass. Mm. What do you think of that?
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan, but there are people out there who do like artificial turf, and you can't dictate to people what they put down. I mean, basically, artificial turf generally is people saying, I don't want dirty boots in my house in the winter. Mm. So, what you have to do then is, I don't want to cut my lawn.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to cut my lawn.
Yeah.
So, the responsibility then is to make sure we get some shrubs and some perennials in the borders.
Yeah.
So that we are providing cover and we are providing shelter and we are providing food for all of our creatures that are around. And the other thing which I do when I'm designing, especially anyway, but it's we've done it two or three times with artificial turf, put a border of meadow turf around the outside.
Right.
Because meadow turf is not only full of grasses, which means that birds can still get in and tap about as well, but you're full of wildflowers, things like clovers,
right. Like
trefoils, dandelions, buttercups, all those things that are important. So you're doing, you've got that no-mow area where you don't get dirty feet, but you're still then providing habitat, food and shelter for creatures and animals that need it. Hmm. So it's one of those, again, we might not like it, but if people want it and they're still sympathetic to the needs of our world... And face it, we do actually need that outdoor world for our own health and survival. Mm-hmm. Then it's finding that balance.
Absolutely.
You know that Paul Andrews has a pheasant that taps at his back door?
Yeah. Which is quite amusing. Walks onto my back door and taps on the window, and I bring a saucepan out to show it, and then it runs away. I'll tell you what else I've got. I've got Mexican squirrels.
Fat ones.
No, I know they're Mexican, and this is how I know they're Mexican squirrels, right? On my bird table, the squirrels are a nuisance. They all cram, five of them, all cram in and la, 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 la. So I went on to the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds website and asked how you stop squirrels, and they went, it's really easy. What you do is you mix your bird food with chili powder because squirrels hate it and birds love it. So I got the strongest chili powder I could find. I mixed the food. I put it on. And seven squirrels had a feast. So they've got to be Mexican squirrels, haven't they? Because otherwise the RSPB are wrong.
Were they wearing sombreros?
Yeah. I'll tell you the other thing. I got a squirrel-proof bird feeder. Yeah. It's got a feeder inside a cage with a screw top on it. And I sat and watched a squirrel unscrew the top, take the top right off, and climb inside.
Did he have a screwdriver?
No, he didn't need it. He had a little welding kit. He had a little mask and an oxyacetylene burner, and they had all kinds of stuff. And they got in there, and they ate all the birds. I normally chase them off, but I was just so fascinated watching this animal.
I'm sitting here nodding, and of course it's a radio show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Simon, my mum has a similar with squirrels, and they dig up all her bulbs in her plant pot. So what's your advice? Move.
My advice is probably not best put on the radio. Squirrels are effectively rats with bushy tails.
Yeah,
and exactly. Yeah. They have very similar habits and they do very similar things. They are extremely intelligent, and all you can do is do your level best to make your technology that you're using to feed the birds as unbreakable by four rodent mitts as possible.
Yeah,
and that does generally. I mean, I've seen them climbing along ropes. I've seen them dangling by tails, or one foot,
danger mouse,
pushing things. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had one, we had a flower pot underneath where the bird feeder was, and the squirrel had worked out that if it could actually swing this bird feeder and sit in the flower pot, then actually when the bird feeder came towards it, it could swipe a few nuts out of it as it went past. And, you know, it's one of those, again, no matter what I think about squirrels or them having the food or anything else, the entertainment value was huge.
Absolutely, yeah. It's hilarious. I go from running around screaming, making banging sounds to get rid of them, to sitting there just fascinating, watching them deconstruct and rebuild things.
Well, you can buy to stop the squirrels is rather than having the screw top ones, you can buy bird feeders where they're weighted.
Right.
So when the squirrel puts its legs onto where the bird would stand, it's weighted enough that it pulls the food up and a cage comes down and it covers it. So the squirrels can't get in to eat the food because as soon as they touch it, their body weight pushes the whole lot down. The food's then trapped and they can't get to it.
I have seen those. You're absolutely right, Ross. I'm going to look at that next. Guys, we're fast running out of time. So I want to just kind of move on for the last minute or so that we've got. And Simon, Ross, I want to talk to you about the kind of people that are signing up to your circle
and how they do it.
Yeah, and how they finding it, what are they doing and why are they signing up to it? Well, I mean, it sounds like great fun and really entertaining, but I'm kind of just getting a feel for the model that you've got going here.
So the majority of our clientele at the moment, and this will ring a bell, are self-employed people that are possibly late 30s and older.
Yep.
That might be because that's where we're networking.
Yep.
But also, we've got one or two people come in that have got some quite serious health issues.
Right.
We've got one lady who's going through chemotherapy at the moment.
Right.
And we are her entire link to the outside world.
Okay.
Get it. You know, she's absolutely, and she's very, very enthusiastic with the members' Facebook group and everything that we do,
right?
Which is absolutely fantastic. I mean, it is all about bringing the outdoors in,
yeah.
Okay. And it's I don't say the geeks and the nerds, if you like, because we all have a love of outside, but it's the people that just want to see things a little bit differently, done a little bit. To a certain extent, it's about the chemistry between me and his nibs,
right?
And how we operate, that people are enjoying from the feedback that we're getting. People are saying that they love learning, and it's stuff that we know that's part of our everyday. So to be able to share that is amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that people can actually get involved if they want to, they can contribute to the show. They can come on and tell us about a walk they've done or something that they have seen. We want it to be, it's about community.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to generate here. So it's using the outside in any way, shape, or form, because it's a world we were all part of.
Yeah.
And if we actually remember that,
and you're absolutely right, Simon. I mean, even this short discussion we've had, the range of things we've talked about and the excitement we generate talking about it just shows you how we kind of we miss the outdoors, two, we love the outdoors, and three, there's just so many things to talk about.
But yeah, I mean, in the day, a radio show is just, it's not long enough.
Right, absolutely.
We can. We've got an endless resource and we've got endless enthusiasm, and why not? It's one of those. There's an NLP phrase, the learning is in the doing. And by golly, are we learning as we do, because there's a lot to learn.
You know that Prince Charles said, so I've read, that there's no such thing as bad weather, there's just inappropriate clothing, which I thought was a great thing, because like you say, if you go out in the rain and you're dressed properly, it's not that bad, is it?
No, or even in your own garden, have somewhere you can go out in the rain that has got open sides, so
shelter.
You can still be out there, you can still breathe that air, which is amazingly gorgeous, and you can experience what's going on, because there's a hell of a difference between having it raining and actually getting wet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get wet.
Simon, Ross, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Give us a shout out for how people can join into your Zoom group, your circle. What's the best way to do that? How do they find you?
You can either go to the Facebook page, which is Simple Life Circle, or get in touch with either of us via email, which is simon@simpleliftd.co.uk, or the other one is ross@simpleliftd.co.uk.
Fantastic.
There's a website which should be live by the end of this week, and probably by the time that this is broadcast, Simple Life Circle, I think it's .co.uk, or is it .co?
We'll find that.
We'll double check that. Basically, if you go into Google and type Simple Life Circle, then that should point you to our website.
And we'll put it on the Business Bunker Radio website as well, so that people can find both that and your Facebook page.
And you can find both of us by name on LinkedIn, Facebook, and various things.
Yeah. Instagram.
Yeah. Twitter. Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Stay safe. Enjoy what you're doing, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Paul.
Really interesting. Well done.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at locheassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Simon and Ross Pollard of Simple Life Circles. What a fascinating discussion. We've had quite a few tweets about it. I'll read a couple now. Vicky at Pink Spaghetti says, I was a bit late tuning in, but loved hearing about the different birds seen on a bird table. We usually tend to get robins, sparrows, doves, and the occasional woodpecker, and the ubiquitous thanet parakeet. Yeah, obviously. Tracy Ferguson, I've got a couple of books on garden birds, which I got from a charity shop, so I can identify the birds visiting my garden to feed. It's one of my great pleasures to watch them every morning. Absolutely, I've got a bird spotting book as well. It's fascinating to look up the type of birds that you get in your garden and the kind of wildlife that you get. I'm very lucky to live in a place that has a substantial garden with a lot of woodland and stuff like that. So we get a huge range of birds visit our bird table, and I'm just fascinated by it. And the blooming squirrels, of course. So Simon and Ross Pollard, Simple Life Circle, do check them out on Facebook at the moment. And then as soon as their website goes live, we'll put the link to the website up on the Business Bunker website. But a link to their Facebook page is there already. Rebecca Nutt has been on. She's got a support small business online gift vouchers for Valentine's Day. If you want to find out about Valentine's gift sets, then you can go to Becca's website, which is serenityhealthandbeauty.co.uk. serenityhealthandbeauty.co.uk. Have a look at that. Find some lovely Valentine's gifts, which is obviously coming up this weekend. Right, I'm just trying to catch up on some of the tweets. We've had loads. Oh, here we go. Crystal Healing Bags. Good afternoon, Business Bunker. I hope you're well. I have some offers to browse over at the moment on my Etsy shop. So if you'd like to look at Crystal Healing Bags, gifts there. Her Etsy shop is etsy.com/shop/ Crystal Healing Bags. Do give that a check out and see what fantastic gifts they have available. DG East, the vehicle specialist from Tenterton. New Citroen dispatch van delivered to long-standing customer on contract hire agreement today. Vanilla Web, well done, Terry. That's a good job, mate. That's a good job. Chips and Dinks, can I please have a shout out for Kev at Applegate Farm Butchers, Ode Street, Borden, that's near Sittingbourne, for his amazing meat, organic eggs, and just because he's a really lovely guy who does all he can for his customers, always with a smile. Absolutely. So that's Applegate Farm Butchers in Borden, as recommended by Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. And Jules has said, yep, it's a real difference, free range or organic happy hens. Their eggs taste better. Oh, absolutely. And Tracy Ferguson says, love the sound of the Simple Life Circle, both what it does and the name too. I was immediately reminded of the circle of life, of the phases of things, of all things go through, of nature and its importance in all our lives. What a wonderful concept. And great historical aspect too, from hedgerows onwards. Yeah, I mean, we started off that discussion talking about Saxon hedgerows. You know, living in the country as we do, for most of Kent is rural, I don't always think we realise how lucky we are to live in such a green, open space as we do. I've got a tweet here from Kim Stevens. Yeah, here we go. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker for all the Care in Kent home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to all the community carers out and about in the snow and freezing cold, making sure all the clients are safe and sound. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. Absolutely. That's lovely. Kim Stevens, Care in Kent. If you see any of the care workers out and about, do give them a wave. And say hello. What else have we got here? Okay. Two ambitious charities have been selected. This was a story we covered a little while ago from Story 22, who had a, I suppose you could call it a competition, to select some local small charities to help. And they've now been selected. So the charities to receive specialist marketing support from Story 22 after the Kent-based marketing agency ran a competition throughout December. They finally chose the RSPCA Canterbury and District, which responds to animals in need, and to Surrey-based Jigsaw Trust, which raises awareness and supports people affected by autism. These were selected from entries received from charities across London and the South East to receive tailored marketing to support their charity objectives throughout the year. Keith Aldis, the RSPCA Canterbury District Chair, said, "We're extremely thrilled and grateful to be selected to receive the support from Story 22. COVID-19 has hit our charity hard, closing some of our shops, reducing income and stopping us from being able to reach out to many of our supporters. Thinking differently about how we can connect to our communities and raise the profile of our charity is essential if we're to continue to survive and to support animals that are so in need on our patch. We can't wait to get started. I'm sure you can't. Congratulations on being selected by Story 22. The University of Kent have launched a Recovery Innovation Fund. The Recovery Innovation Fund can provide your small or medium-sized business, including any third sector organisation, that's charities, NGOs, social enterprises, not-for-profit businesses, with up to £7,500 to engage with Kent's expertise, with the opportunity to foster a long-term partnership. What you will get is tailored advice and support from one of our academic experts relevant to your business sector and your business need. If you want to find out more about this, and there's a lot more behind this and about accessing this 7.5K's worth of support. So the best thing to do is to visit their website and have a look at all the details. And they also have the experts that they have available and the kind of fields that they work in. So if you go to www.kent.ac.uk/enterprise/COVID support. Let me give you that again. It's kent.ac.uk/enterprise/COVID support. And you can find out all about the University of Kent Recovery Innovation Fund. Okay, I've still got tweets coming in, which is lovely. So we're going to go with some more of them. I'm not sure who that was from. Hold on. It's from Tracy. A lovely new indie shop which opened during lockdown, Will's Grills in Strood. They do the most amazing burgers, and the owners and young staff are so customer focused. They seem to be doing a thriving takeaway business, which is a testament to them and their delicious food. So check that out if you're in the Strood area. That is Will's Grills in Strood, as recommended by Tracy Ferguson. What else we got? And she also says, what an interesting, informative interview. Great concept. That's talking about Simon and Ross. Wishing the guys every future success with this. Absolutely. I think it's a fantastic initiative. Really good fun. And as Simon was saying, it, you know, it's attractive to people that can't get out, either because they're locked down or in isolation, or, you know, maybe they have some health issues that stop them being as mobile as they normally would. It's a great way to get involved with the outdoors and nature and the rural area when you can't physically go out there. Right, what else have we got? We're fast approaching time to join the newsroom, and I just want to finish off in any relevant tweets that I've missed before we go over and join the Channel Radio newsroom. I think I've covered most of the ones pertaining to what we were just talking about. Seem to have done, yeah. I think we've got them. If I've missed you, then do tweet me again. Don't forget to use the hashtag BeBunker so that I can find you. Darren of Intune PR has said, I was mentioning earlier, when I gave a shout out for my barbers, he's gone laughing out loud. Yeah, okay, I know, I don't. You see, you'd be surprised that my small amount of hair left gets in my eyes. I don't know how it gets in my eyes, but it does. Darren's also saying he's now tempted by listening to Simon and Ross to get out in the garden with some shears right now. I'll tell you what, my garden's underwater until it froze. It's now an ice rink, but before that it was a lake. I think I've covered most of these others. I think I've covered most of them. M Farmers Market have asked for a tweet out. They've asked me to mention George's Mini, TN Times, Little Ships Kent, the M Farmers Market, the Fat Carrot, and Stour Valley Game and McNaid's. So there's a nice list of other small businesses to support following lockdown. Okay, good. Do keep your tweets coming. Do stay on board. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got another fascinating guest to talk to. We're going to hear from Ross Feeney, who's the chief executive of Tunbridge Wells Together, which is a business improvement district company. And we had a big discussion about flexible flexible commercial space, regenerating town centres and all other things associated with that. But for the moment, let's join the Channel Radio newsroom.